San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 17, 2022. Today's lesson is High Society with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a lovely day today. I like it here, just enough of a breeze to uplift our spirits. So let's anchor ourselves in that truth that we know is, well, is the truth. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And we call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. This is the infinite spiritual truth, the eternal truth, the undeniable truth, the unassailable truth, the absolute truth of spirit, God, creation, who we are. Who we are as beings of light. And so today, we're continuing the month of July. This is the third week in July, and our theme for the month has been relationships. And what we learned about relationships is that they're all about being connected, about connections. And today's talk is High Society. And our theme for the year is Living Everyday Wonder. So let's live and look at the everyday wonder of what we think high society is. Some people think that high society is the good life, the life of Riley, the life of wealth and prosperity and outer possessions. It isn't. Never has been. The good life is about having love and joy and beauty in our hearts. And we have that through good, healthy relationships with ourself, with spirit, and with each other. Relationships. Society is all about relationships, the relationships that we have with each other, the oneness, the unity, the truth within. That's society. Reverend Janet Friedland wrote about finding our place, and I want to share that with you. Intuitively, we feel that we are born into this life experience for a special purpose, for a particular reason. We are certain there is a place for us, a certain place we may call our own and accomplish what we were sent here to do. And we seek to find this place. We look to our family, our environment, our friends, our careers to discover where we fit in the scheme of things. But these things change. Conditions come and go. And we're left to wonder if we will ever find that place of lasting comfort, the one we long for. To seek an outer way for our answers is to seek in the changing realm of experience. We will not find our true place in the changing scenes of humanhood. We are the spiritual idea of God, and right in the midst of this, in the midst of us, is the place where we belong. She writes, Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven. This is the place of serenity, the place of peace. To abide in this place allows us to walk in this world and be not of it. So today we can look within for our own peace, so we can fulfill our own reason for being. Now, so far this month, our talks on relationship have included One Nation Indivisible and We the People. Today is High Society. And when you think of society, you think of groups, right? Groups of people. Every single one in the group is an individual. I'd like to share some wisdom with you about what this means. Individualized liberty and freedom. From one of America's New Thought mystics, the late Dr. Donald Curtis. He was also an actor. He was in Ben-Hur. He was in a lot of different films. Dr. Curtis began his career in the ministry at the Science of Mind Church in Los Angeles, and he later founded the Unity Church of Dallas, where for over 20 years he served as senior minister, and he was teaching and writing about the human potential. The following passages I'm going to read to you are from his book, Daily Power for Joyful Living. This part appears in chapter 8, which is entitled, My Country Tis of Thee. And of course, that's a song that we sing during this July. And it's about the relationship of society and the people within the society to our nation. So listen closely to how Dr. Curtis explains the sacred responsibility of the individual and how it's up to you and me to uphold our heritage of freedom and liberty. Because we are individualized centers of spirit within our society. It's up to us, each one of us, to maintain the high watch on our own thoughts and actions. Now keep in mind, this book was written in 1963. And notice how relevant it is to today's domestic and global challenges. Dr. Curtis says, Americans believe that each man's destiny is pretty much up to him. If he doesn't like the way things are going, it is up to him to do something about it. Well, I agree with Dr. Curtis, and that's a very New Thought perspective in the change your mind, change your life, what you think about comes about New Thought teachings. Dr. Curtis goes on, we honor and support our form of government, bearing in mind the words of the Declaration of Independence, which state, quote, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, end quote. Which the governed, who has to give their consent, that's we the people. That's you and me. We have to consent to what our government does. He goes on to say, our political system is so constituted that if we don't like what is going on in our government, we can change it to conform to the will of the majority, which means to vote. And this is what I would like to highlight from Dr. Curtis's essay this morning, right here. If we are to continue to enjoy the freedom which our forefathers established, and which we have constantly fought for individually, politically, domestically, internationally, and militarily, we must realize that the entire responsibility rests upon the individual. That is you and me. Our government is the projected image the dream, if you will, of our collective selves. And the only way we can be fit for liberty and continue to enjoy individual and national freedom is for each one of us to develop his own personal code of constructive living. One such personal code is the Four Agreements. Now, we've had Four Agreements workshops, classes, taught by ministers, taught by practitioners, and we will have them again. But the Four Agreements is a book about Toltec wisdom. It was written by Don Miguel Ruiz, and he is one of the descendants of the Aztec Nahuals, and he is also an Aztec Nahual, meaning the keeper of this truth. Don Miguel wrote in the Four Agreements about society's dream of the planet. And so I want to share a few paragraphs of that with you. This is what he wrote. Humans are dreaming all the time. Before we were born, the humans before us created a big outside dream we call society's dream, or the dream of the planet. The dream of the planet is a collective dream of billions of smaller personal dreams, which together create a dream of a family, a dream of a community, a dream of a city, a dream of a country, and finally, a dream of the whole humanity. The dream of the planet includes all society's rules, its beliefs, its laws, its religions, its different cultures and ways to be, its governments, schools, social events, and holidays. He says, we are born with the capacity to learn how to dream. And the humans who live before us teach us how to dream the way society dreams. The way society dreams. The outside dream has so many rules that when a new human is born, we hook the child's attention and introduce these rules into his or her mind. The outside dream uses mom and dad, the schools, and religion to teach us how to dream. Attention is the ability we have to discriminate and to focus only on what we want to perceive. We can perceive millions of things simultaneously, but our attention, using our attention, we can hold whatever we want to perceive in the foreground of our mind. The adults around us are hooked. The adults around us hooked our attention and put information in our minds through repetition. That's the way we learned everything we know. Now, how many times has Reverend John in the past told us repetition of thought, repetition of thought? That's why we anchor ourselves every week with the same truth, repetition of thought. That's why our spiritual mind treatments, our affirmative prayers, reinforce and repeat the truth of the good of who we are. We don't do supplicating prayers. We state the truth, name it, and claim it. Don Miguel writes, by using our attention, we learned a whole reality, a whole dream. We learned how to behave in society, what to believe and what not to believe. What is acceptable and what is not acceptable. What is good and what is bad, what is beautiful and what is ugly, what is right and what is wrong. It was all there already. All that knowledge, all those rules and concepts about how to behave in the world. Now I'm going to take a little aside here and remind you, these are all things that we were taught. We were taught these things. Okay. And here's something that is key to everything that Don Miguel is writing. He says, when you were in school, you sat in a little chair and put your attention on what the teacher was teaching you. When you went to church, you put your attention on what the priest or minister was telling you. It's the same dynamic with mom and dad, brothers and sisters. They were all trying to hook your attention. That's how we learn as children. Children believe everything adults say. I'm going to repeat that because it's very important. They say when you get a child early in life, you've got them for life. Children believe everything adults say. As children, we agree with them, and our faith is so strong that the belief system controls our whole dream of life. We didn't choose these beliefs, and we may have rebelled against them. But we were not strong enough to win the rebellion. The result is surrender to the beliefs with our agreement. We get all these beliefs told to us, moved into us. And the reason we wind up agreeing with what we're told is because we want to be accepted. We want to not be punished. We want to not be harmed. We want to be accepted. Therefore, at some level, we agree with this societal dream of the planet that we've been fed. Now, I'm claiming that we do this under duress. Children do this under duress because they're trapped in a life governed by society's dream. There's nowhere to get outside of society's dream unless you are blessed enough to be a child affiliated with, associated with, born into some group that has recognized that the dream is not all it's cracked up to be and has found the truth. Don Miguel even coined a term for this obvious indoctrination of young humans. He calls it domestication. And the actual process is very much how animals are domesticated. He writes, Don Miguel writes, I call this the process the domestication of humans. And through this domestication, we learn how to live and how to dream. In human domestication, the information from the outside dream is conveyed to the inside dream, creating our whole belief system. First, the child is taught the names of things, mom, dad, milk, bottle, day by day, at home, at school, at church, and from television. We are told how to live, what kind of behavior is acceptable. That's pretty powerful stuff. And you know, the entire book, The Four Agreements, is amazing. It's awesome. And to read it cover to cover is nice. to go through a study of it is better. And here's a horrible truth. What we learn and adopt as our beliefs through this human domestication is judgment, fear, imperfection. We can never measure up. Nothing is good enough. Self-recrimination and self-abuse. Those are the things we learn when we are when we undergo domestication of humans. Yeah, it's not very pretty. So, I have a dream of the whole planet. Well, hey, it's spreading and it's not pretty. Think about how society deals with different things, with all the rules, with all the this is acceptable, that isn't acceptable. And think about this in relation to the COVID pandemic, as it was termed. What we the people experienced in our society with all the COVID mandates, the isolation, the new ways of relating to each other and of doing business, it was a dramatic shift from what we thought was how we were supposed to behave. So through this, we had to learn a new way to behave. And we are learning a new way to be accepted, to adhere to new rules. There is a shift in the brain, a very subtle shift that says, wait a minute, that's not like the old rules. The old rules must be wrong. What if the new rules are wrong too? And so there's a question, there's an opening, there's a crack where the light of truth can get in, unless it goes in the other direction and says, we had rules, we need more rules. We had a certain behavior, now we need to shut that down. We need to limit even more. We need to be more fearful. We need to be more isolated. We need to avoid everybody else. But the good things that came out of this whole pandemic stuff is working from home. There were ways determined that people could still be productive, businesses could still function, and life could go on working from home. There's a whole new industry out there in delivery services. People who will go to one location, one vendor, store, grocery store, business, pick things up and drive them to people in their homes. Our schools are different. Rather than having the children in class, the schools shut down. And they had to go through this technological leap for many of them to be able to connect the students in the classroom from their homes to the teachers so that there was this video learning. But all of these changes came on the back of a horse named fear, a horse named panic, a horse named insecurity, a horse some people named death, and thus fear of. What this whole thing did, despite any advances in technology to help people, was it created egregious separation and mistrust within society. In fact, many people even today talk about the separation, not politically, not racially, not financially or ethnically, but the separation between vax, non-vax. Separation between those who believe that COVID is real and a harm to all of us, or that it is manufactured and a weapon being used against all of us. No matter which side you're on, it's a pretty separating field. I believe it's Rumi. There's a quote from Rumi, "Out beyond right and wrong, there's a field. I'll meet you there." Ernest Holmes is the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. He talks about people interacting with each other, society, members of society. And he has some pretty good things to say to help dispel that dream of the planet that so many of us have been, quote, domesticated to. On page 431, paragraph 4, Ernest wrote, "We cannot afford to hold personal animosities or enmities against the world or individual members of society. All such thoughts are outside the law and cannot be taken into heavenly consciousness. Love alone can beget love. People do not gather roses from thistles." And on page 433, he amplifies this a bit. He says, "This means that life must return to us, the manifestation of our motives, thoughts, and desires. Whether these motives, thoughts, and desires were intended for ourselves or others. It means the thought of judgment, criticism, and condemnation must in time operate against the one who sets it in motion. It is doubtless necessary to the well-being of our society that our civil laws be enforced. Else, in our present state of evolution, there would be no protection from those who would seek to destroy society, but personal condemnation can be entirely eliminated." Personal condemnation, condemning ourselves or others, can be entirely eliminated. And I'll tell you why. Because it is not a thing in and of itself. It is an idea, not a truth. I want to share something else that is from the Four Agreements. It's about searching and how we're searching for the truth. Don Miguel Ruiz writes about our misguided search for the truth. And I say misguided because we're looking for truth in all the wrong places. I think that might be a country song, country music song. Looking for something in all the wrong places. So Don Miguel says, "All of humanity is searching for truth, justice, and beauty. We are on an eternal search for the truth because we only believe in the lies we have stored in our mind. We are searching for justice because in the belief system we have, there is no justice. We search for beauty because it doesn't matter how beautiful a person is. We don't believe that person has beauty. We keep searching and searching when everything is already within us. There is no truth to find. Wherever we turn our heads, all we see is truth. But with the agreements and beliefs we have stored in our mind, we have no eyes for the truth. We don't see the truth because we are blind. What blinds us are all those false beliefs we have in our mind. That's what he says. Now, keep in mind, just because I'm reading this book, I'm not making those affirmations and believing them. Okay? This is like a primer. So how do I know that I should be questioning my own beliefs in every moment? Well, here, read the book. Question everything. Anything that disturbs us, question it. Because our natural state is to be at peace, to be love, to express joy. Don Miguel also writes about needing others. He says, we have the need to be accepted and loved by others. We have the need to be accepted and to be loved by others. But we cannot accept and love ourselves. The more self-love we have, the less we will experience self-abuse. Self-abuse comes from self-rejection. And self-rejection comes from having an image of what it means to be perfect and never measuring up to that ideal. Our image of perfection is the reason we reject ourselves. It is why we don't accept ourselves the way we are and why we don't accept others the way they are. Actually, it makes perfect sense, given the dream of the planet, given the society under which we experienced indoctrination of humans. Irvin Seal is an author, and he was a scholar on P.P. Quimby. So he studied him, he wrote about him, he studied his works, he wrote about his works. So when we talk about Irvin Seal, we're talking about a master. He wrote, when we feel the need to pray about anything, it is because something in our world needs changing. Any negative feeling is a state of mind which must be changed to another dimension of consciousness. We can't change, for example, a fearful feeling to confidence while we are aware of the problem that faces us. In other words, he's saying, like what Don Miguel was talking about, while we have our attention focused on the problem, we can't focus on the solution. Okay? Irvin Seal wrote, that is why Jesus bids us to go into our closet, our own mind, the secret place of the Most High, where we can meet and talk with God, the reality of our being, our subjective self. We can perceive it only by feeling. He says, to go into the secret closet is to take our attention from the evidence of the senses and go into the realm of pure feeling within ourselves. This is the place of formless life. Feeling is the movement of God, of spirit. And we imagine the good news we seek. We evoke the feeling we desire to have. We are making a change in consciousness, leaving one mood and ascending to another. In our secret place, we feel joy, thanksgiving, and even ecstasy beyond description, a new way of being. We feel the Spirit of God within as our new nature. which will manifest its image and likeness in our world. So no matter what we've been domesticated to, we don't have to focus on that. The truth is already within. Everything is already within. And it's our relationship with spirit, with our inner self, with truth that allows us to step away from all the domestication, all the indoctrination, and to look at what kind of agreements do we want to make with ourselves. Well, I told you the book was called The Four Agreements, and there, it does share four agreements, and they're very simple. But even Don Miguel talks about how courageous anyone has to be to step forward and live the way of life of the four agreements. We know there is no truth to find outside, that the truth is within us. Therefore, there's no truth to find. These four agreements. The first agreement, be impeccable with your word, especially what you're telling yourself. The second agreement, don't take anything personally. Nothing that anyone else does is about you. It's all about them, their thoughts. They would behave the way they behave whether you're in their orbit or not. Don't take anything personally. Number three, don't make assumptions. Just don't make assumptions. Because assumptions are based on stereotypes and they're based on this domestication of humans. And so when we assume, we are falling back into the false beliefs. Yes, collective, not individual. Number four, always do your best. And of course, with always do your best, there is that reminder that your best changes in any moment. Right now, my best is standing here and delivering this message. If I were to suddenly be stung by a bee, my best would shift. There was a TV show called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And it had Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, and a bunch of other characters. One of the things that Fred Rogers said is, in the end, life isn't about material things. It's about the relationships you have with one another and yourself. That is so true. Just like I said at the beginning, the good life is not how many things you have. The good life is your relationships and your ability to have love, joy, and beauty in your life. In closing, I want to thank you for your time and your attention today, and for being here, and for being a part of this beautiful morning, talking about dreams. We're going to have some special music after this. We're going to have Elvis Presley singing a song. But I want to share something about it first. After Elvis heard the demo for If I Can Dream, he proclaimed, "I'm never going to sing another song I don't believe in. I'm never going to make another movie I don't believe in." So I thank you for your time, for your attention. Namaste. Let's listen to Elvis sing it.